Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. Today I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey.
Which, are you living up to your nickname there?
I am, buddy.
I think I see some Paisley on that.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah. Well, it's the nickname that has stuck.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Any publicity is good publicity.
Yes, that's what some people say. All right, Steve. What you got for us?
Well, first, before we start, I have to. I'm having some problems at home. My dog and my wife are conspiring against me to who's going to, like, make the rules in the house. So I am declaring that my dog is no longer eligible to be elected ruler of the house. He's off the ballot. She's off. The puppy is off the ballot. We're not gonna put up with that. I'm citing the 14th Amendment.
Well, let me just say, if your dog is voting on who runs the house, you've got deeper problems than just the misapplication of the 14th Amendment.
She's a smart dog.
But does she mail in the vote or does she vote in person?
Well played. Well played.
I wondered what those boxes were in the kitchen and in the bathroom.
Broken water pipe or anything, have you? Or even a fake broken water pipe? All right.
Hey, just a little bit of breaking news. I know you guys have been talking about this Colorado decision. Well, the Colorado Republican Party has come out and said, if this isn't remedied, if indeed Donald Trump is not put back on the ballot, the Colorado Republican Party is going to withdraw from the primary, and they're going to set up a caucus system.
Hmm.
Now, the difference is, a primary, you go to the polling place and you put it on a ballot. A caucus, the Republican Party would gather Republicans in different houses. It could be
like Iowa.
Exactly. To 10 to 15 people. And they decide among themselves who they would support. So all the Trump supporters, no ballot, would go to one corner. All the Ramaswamy supporters would go to the other corner. The one Haley supporter would go to the third corner.
I think you're underestimating.
Yeah. That's their answer to what might happen if the Supreme Court does not resolve this.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
That is a fascinating take, because we should remind our listeners that it is the political party that establishes the way they're going to select nominees.
Yeah.
So this is not in state law. The Colorado government does not have the right to tell the political parties how they select their nominees. So that's a very interesting approach.
Yeah, and it would take care of the ballot issue, because there wouldn't be a ballot.
There'd be no ballot.
So
interesting.
I don't know if, like, the rest of the states that maybe the Democrats decide they want to get them off the ballot in Texas and everything. I don't know if they would all go to caucuses. But
this is much breaking news. I had not heard about this, but the problem might be for that if the ballots have already been printed. I guess they wouldn't. We're too far out.
Well, they might.
I'm not
be.
Sure when the Colorado primary is. Do you know?
Yes, March 5th.
Oh, it's in March. So I'm guessing that the ballots have probably. I guess Colorado have to trash them and print new ballots without Republicans on it.
The Republicans don't have to necessarily take the result of that vote as valid if you've set up a different system.
I see.
I would think. Right. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on the radio sometimes. Yeah. But
and I would also wonder, and Fred, I'll let you jump in here too. I'm just thinking, folks, right out loud here, because I had an opportunity to read what the Colorado GOP is considering doing. That I now see the headline on Fox: Colorado GOP considers primary overhaul after bombshell court decision ordering Trump off the ballot. My other consideration would be, Fred, down ballot Republicans.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe to your point, whoever shows up at the caucus would pick the nominee for president. And then they would just count the ballots for down ballot. I don't know. We'll have to kind of
Yeah, that would need a lawyer.
Right.
That better lawyer than I. Maybe we can talk to Jenna about that next time.
Yeah, Fred.
Colorado resident, by the way.
Any thoughts?
Well, chaos births chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happens. But the United States Supreme Court has got to do a quick ruling on this. I saw the figure of January 4th this morning, that they have to have something really early in the new year. So I think we're going to get a quick decision. I am optimistic the United States Supreme Court is going to overrule the Colorado Supreme Court.
But they would have to. I'm guessing they're not in session right now. I you know what I'm saying? This, like you said, this is chaos. And that is, I'm sorry, that's what quote unquote progressives slash Marxists on the left, they're all about chaos.
Yes.
And that's what I consider these activist judges in Colorado to be all about. They're coming from that political perspective. But it is chaos because I don't even know where the Supreme Court is right now, if they're on holiday because it's Christmas slash New Year.
They've been accepting cases. Yes. I know they've been talking, whether they're in D.C. or not, I don't know.
Yes.
They've been active.
All right. Well, anyway, it's not going to be a dull couple of weeks here. We've got the rest of this week, and then a week from this coming Monday is New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. So if the January 4 is the deadline for names on a ballot in Colorado, the Supreme Court has to meet and make the decision now.
So Merry Christmas, Supreme Court.
Yes, that's right. So, all right, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting breaking news. All right, go ahead, Steve.
All right, I know we've talked a little bit about education and school choice in this forum, and basically to remind listeners, school choice is where there's a number of different ways that you can do it, but basically the money follows the child. Instead of giving a school $10,000 per year per child so that they can educate them, that money would go to a parent or a family, and they could spend it at whatever school they want. That's the choice. It does not set well with the establishment, and especially with the teachers' unions. The largest teachers' union, I think, is the
National Federation of Teachers.
Well, no, that's... No, that's Randy Weingartner.
National Education Association.
NEA. But Randy Weingartner is the one that has been speaking out. She is with the American Federation of Teachers.
American, yes, sir.
And I want you to hear what she has to say about school choice. Now, this is a discussion that she's having at a Network for Public Education Action. This actually was in October. It's just now kind of getting sunlight, so we're seeing it. And so basically she's taking aim at people who are in favor of school choice. Listen to the comparison that she makes. This is cut 9.
Those same words that you heard in terms of wanting segregation post Brown v. Board of Education, those same words you hear today. The same words, choice, parental rights, an attempt to divide parents versus teachers. And that point, it was white parents versus other parents. But it's the same kind of words.
Every time she speaks, I feel like it is an in-kind donation to the school choice movement across the country, and in some cases, to the Republican Party.
That's Ben Domenech, who's basically saying Randy Weingarten is the gift that keeps on giving for school choice, because her statements are so out there and obviously ridiculous. So
yeah, okay, Fred. So it is probably sinful. It's probably a sinful thing. I'm thinking about the words of Jesus in Matthew 5 for me to call people stupid. Okay,
so isn't it Raka you're not supposed to say or whatever?
Well, yeah, if you want to be technical, yeah, you can't call them Raka, which means empty head. So I at times violate that commandment, okay? But I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to call Randy Weingartner stupid. I'm just not going to call her that. That would be unchristian and ugly. Her ideas are stupid, okay? So I am going to split the difference there. This is her argument, that just because some people use the words school choice or parental rights in the aftermath of the Board of Education
Brown v. Board.
Brown versus Board of Education, Topeka, Kansas case in 1954, just because people wanted to maintain segregation and use those words does not mean that everyone who uses those words are in favor of discrimination.
Yes.
This is ludicrous. There are many, many black people who want school choice. Are they in favor of Jim Crow laws? This is an insane argument. However, it reveals, Fred, we get your take, it reveals the tactics of the left, which is to smear, smear, smear. I want someone to ask Randy Weingartner, you talk about dividing people. What do you think critical race theory does? It divides people all the time. All you white people are racists. You always have been racist. You are racist. You always will be racist. Okay, that's dividing people. All right, so what would she say to people who are black, who are Hispanic, who are people of color, who want school choice? There are many black parents, many Hispanic parents, many Asian parents who show up at these school board meetings and say, we don't want our kids taught this LGBTQ nonsense. There are many religions represented by the parents at these school board meetings. Muslim, mm-hmm. Orthodox Jews, okay, Christians. All of those people, because they stand up for parental rights, are no different than the promoters of Jim Crow laws. This is a stupid argument, capital S. And the fact that she gets away, Randy Weingartner gets away with these kinds of things all the time, is a critique of the media letting her get away with it.
I might go a little further. I would call her remarks evil. They reflect an evil, a Marxism, which is evil. Very interesting that her comments come out. I'm not sure if she made those comments this week. But this week, we dealt with a story out of Chicago. In Chicago, I think there are 11 what they call selective school districts where parents can send their kids because these schools have an excellent reputation of giving kids a good education. And there are white kids, there are black kids, there are Hispanic kids that go.
Is this where they have the lottery every year to determine?
Yes, that you can go there and these kids are doing exceptionally well. Well, the new mayor of Chicago, which if it's possible is even further left than his, the person
who Lori Lightfoot was?
Lori Lightfoot, yes. He wants to destroy that system.
Brandon Johnson.
Yes, he wants to destroy that system because in the other, and these are public schools, okay?
Right.
These selective schools are public schools. But he wants to blow that up because he thinks because these kids are doing so well, it's offending kids in schools that aren't doing well. It's offending the public school teachers in those schools where the level of reading is so low, it's incredible.
So instead of bringing the rest of the school districts up to their level,
yes,
he wants to take all of those schools and bring them down to the lower.
Bring them down because it's offensive.
You're right.
And that goes to what I believe the Randy Weingartens of this nation, they're really not interested in bettering the lives of the kids. What they're interested in is control. They want to bring everyone down to a level that agrees with a government controlling them. I believe that's where we're going. That is why in Barack Obama days, with the help of his wife, Michelle, dictated to schools what should be on the menu and what school kids
right.
should eat. And we had kids throwing their apples and their oranges, and I'm not saying apples and oranges aren't good, but you cannot dictate those kinds of things, and they tie money to it. This is all about control. And if you have kids getting smart in math and you have kids doing well, you have kids starting to think properly, know the history of the nation. We were talking with Jen about history. When they know the history of the nation and what succeeds and what doesn't, you know, if we were doing our job in our public schools, you know what? There would be courses on Marxism.
Yes.
And we would be showing kids, here's life in Marxism in Cuba.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go down there and do some videos of what kids and what how human beings live in Cuba.
Yeah, you don't.
Do you want Marxism?
Yeah, you don't have people trying to get into Cuba.
No.
They're not sneaking in.
No.
They're not sneaking into North Korea or trying to sneak into China.
Yeah,
they're
or Venezuela.
Or Venezuela. They're trying to sneak in here.
Yes. So let's educate people about Marxism.
Right.
But you won't find a course on Marxism in our schools. They come in through the back door and say, well, we're going to teach you critical race theory, oppressors, the victims, and everything. And that's what you're seeing manifested. Thank you very much, education system.
And by the way, it is Randy Weingarten.
Yes.
Not Weingartner. To be honest, I was going full Home Alone there. Yes. Where they said the kindergartner. And I continue to get that in my head when I think of Randy Weingarten, the kindergartner. All right. All right. So we done with that story, or we got something else you want
to
add?
Only to say that sneaking into Cuba would be significantly hard to do. They've got a natural wall surrounding their country in the ocean.
Yes, because they mean business when it comes to keeping right. people out. Yeah. They have a wall.
They do have an ocean around it.
It was a real eye-opener to me to visit Cuba. I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip there a few years ago. Several of us from AFA went down there.
Right.
And, and you come away saying, I understand why people want to leave here.
Yeah.
What I can understand is, we have people in our public education system that think this is just wonderful.
Well, let me just tell you, one of the main arguments that Marxists use is they will say, whenever you point out where it's been tried and has clearly failed, they say, well, real Marxism has never been tried. That argument is as old as 1950s Stalinist Russia.
Yes.
Okay, that's what people say. When you say, well, what about Cuba? What about North Korea? No, real Marxism has never been tried. So that's the garbage you get on that topic.
All right. One of the things that I've spoken about several times here is the whole pandemic and the response of the government and the health organizations to the pandemic, the deaths and vaccines and all this kind of stuff. There's a Dr. Stephen Hatfill. He's a physician. He's a pathologist. He was on with Steve Bannon, and he is making a claim. He says, while he believes that Operation Warp Speed, which is the program to get these vaccines, or what we refer to as vaccines,
right.
online quickly, was necessary, it was not meant to ignore proper monitoring or experiment. It is an experimental mRNA vaccine. Donald Trump was misinformed, he says, about the whole pandemic, and they buried hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
They buried what's the other one?
Ivermectin.
Ivermectin.
Thank you. We just got banned from YouTube again.
Hi, YouTube. And they pushed these RNA shots and remdesivir, knowing that they were not going to be effective. He said a lot of people died unnecessarily, and he believes that government officials and the media are willfully and criminally responsible for those deaths because they buried the truth. They knew that these... for example, calling hydroxychloroquine a horse
tranquilizer.
They knew very well that hydroxychloroquine in pill form had been used many, many times to treat humans for respiratory diseases.
And like rheumatoid arthritis
right.
and stuff like that.
It's safe, and they found it as effective. What else they did is when they finally did allow studies on hydroxychloroquine, they made sure that these people were already infected with COVID and on death's door, basically.
Right.
Which renders it ineffective. And then they published the findings and said, oh, look, it's ineffective.
Yeah, and not only that, it killed people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They died. Listen, now who is this gentleman that you were quoting?
Dr. Stephen Hatfill, Hatfill.
All right, Fred, we've said this on the show many times. We are approaching the fourth anniversary of the COVID outbreak here in this country. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to find out as time goes on. I don't know whether people will be criminally charged, but there was a lot of hoaxing going on.
Yes. Well, and I think the reality was there was an effort to control society. I think when the history books are written, if they ever get written based on the facts, that there was a concerted effort to use the pandemic for more government control. That's what happened. I am hopeful that the American people learned a lot about what happened. The statements that came from the CDC, the statements that came from the mouth of Joe Biden, you get the vax, you're going to be okay.
Right.
You get the vax, even if
you get it or spread it.
Get it or spread it. That all proved wrong.
Right.
All proved wrong. People getting the vax, you know, 2-3 times. I don't think the American people, if they attempt this again, are going to buy it. They're going to buy into it at all. If you thought there was some rebellion in the initial pandemic, you will see wholesale rebellion. I do believe, I agree with the gentleman that you just mentioned, Steve, that I believe former President Trump, together with the magnitude of the initial stories, the senior home deaths, that sort of thing, they didn't want to see that spread through. And he was being told by the CDC, here's the solution, Mr. President. And by the way, give these pharmaceutical companies free rein, release them from any liability for anything that goes wrong, and we'll get something out there for you.
And remember, Donald Trump was a big advocate of hydroxychloroquine. While the vaccines or whatever, the mRNA shots were being developed under warp speed, he wanted hydroxychloroquine to be made readily available to those who could use it. And he was shot down. And he doesn't, Hatfield doesn't give a reason why or the why he thinks this all happened. Could be money. It could be control, like you were talking about, Fred. It could be just that Donald Trump wants something. We're going to want the opposite. But Donald Trump was all for hydroxychloroquine, and that's basically why it was demonized.
So. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's end here. There is a squad member in Congress. His name is Greg Caesar. And or Cassar, C-A-S-A-R, and he's from Texas, and he used to be a city council person. He proudly campaigned to defund Austin Police and was successful, took thousands and thousands of dollars away from the Austin Police Department, made their lives terrible. He recently called the Austin Police racist, but you know what? He's just asked the Capitol Police, can you come by and patrol around my house? I'm getting some threats. I think I need your help.
Listen, I have thoroughly enjoyed the difficult learning process that a lot of these lefties have undergone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a Minnesota legislator. We've made fun of her on a number of occasions. Basically crying for more police. She the one that got carjacked? But we constantly see this, people getting carjacked and then saying, where are the cops?
Yeah.
Well, you defunded them.
Yes.
And these are all people who went along with the ideological mayhem that the left had created in the summer of love, the summer of 2020,
mm-hmm.
where cities burned and cops were called the bad guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And now these politicians are having to learn the hard way about how the world really works, and not just how it works in your college professor's classroom.
That's right.
All right, folks, that is all the time we have for this. That's all I can take. That's all I can take today. That's all we have for you on today's issues today. More great programming, though, is directly ahead on American Family Radio. And Lord willing, we will see you right back here tomorrow.